Here's a space so powerful it allows an ordinary fan to share a cheer with the owner of a team, a platform where supporters understand intricate details of players' rights, a setting that bridges the gap between the dressing room and the grandstand, a space where tactics meet opinion, transfer news meet gossip, and the VAR system meets social media, a space for the football tribe. Le Coco. La Space.
Right, ladies and gentlemen, good evening and welcome to The Space. It is Le Coco La Space, powered by Hollywood Bets. Yes, we are powered by Hollywood Bets. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to thank you for taking your time and being here. We've moved our time slot. It is a Thursday. It's not 7 o'clock, it's 6 o'clock. I do have both of my guests, and the topic of discussion is Bafana Bafana. We are going to be giving away some goodies, courtesy of Hollywood Bets, and I'm looking forward to having this engagement. Snae, I've been trying to get hold of her for some time, to, you know, even last year, she did promise to come. Ricardo, I got in touch with him, and yeah, it just fizzled out, but I then remember that I have to have a chat with Ricardo, especially he's the perfect man for this conversation. Thank you for taking your time and listening in, and I hope you enjoy, and good luck to you. If you haven't entered the competition, do have a look on the timeline. There is a competition that's running where we're giving away a 250 Hollywood Bet voucher. Do what needs to be done and then we can carry on. Let me officially kickstart the space and welcome my guest. I'm gonna, in no particular order, let me start with Ricardo. Ricardo, welcome to the space.
How are you doing, and good evening to all the listeners.
Good evening, Ricardo. We're good. How have you been?
I'm good. You know, there's a saying, they say, if you don't see the doctor, you're in a good space. So I'm the doctor that you don't see, but when you need me, I'm there.
No, and I must confess, whenever we've needed you, you're available. And I felt that it would be important for us to have you on the space in this conversation, because we are talking about a national team that you've played for, you've been there, you know what is required, and you're the perfect person to give us the line going forward.
Yeah, look, thanks for the opportunity. I was just thinking earlier that I've played almost 400 games in the PSL, and I've played about 90 games for the national team. But honestly, the two games I played in the 2006 Cup of Nations was the toughest games in my life, to be honest with you.
And we will get into that, because the 2006 Cup of Nations is the reason why I invited you here. But we will get into that later on. Let me take this time and welcome Intombi Kababa, Ubaba Osapota Ikosi. Welcome, Snae. Welcome to the space. Let me give you a proper welcome without making it about Ubaba. Snae is an administrator, football administrator, national team administrator. Usne has a pedigree of being in the World Cup administration. I've had a dealing with Usne, and Usne is one of the most proficient people you can come across. Usne, welcome to the space.
Thank you for having me. My dad's team didn't have to be dragged into this, okay?
Team Gababa will always be there.
The league is on a break. Can we catch a break? Thank you. But man, thank you for having me. So excited. I know that you've been trying to get a hold of me for some time. So I'm glad that the schedule finally allows for us to have this and actually engage and just talk about the biggest game in the world, and that is football.
The biggest game in the world, indeed. And I had switched on my telly and I saw Equatorial Guinea doing things that nobody expected. Were you watching the match?
I was actually. Like,
what did you think of the game? I mean, the scoreline was something that we didn't expect.
I think second half I kind of expected it. It panned out the way that I expected it, because Guinea-Bissau didn't really show up. And it's sort of like they gave up as soon as they were trailing. It's like they pissed out from the game, like, okay, peace out, we're no longer going to be involved. But yeah, I think above all, I'm just happy that we're seeing goals in this AFCON. Of course, some questionable VAR decisions, but I'm not an expert in that, so I wouldn't want to dive into it. But I believe we have seen quite some questionable moments, some legit goals being denied, and all that. But of course, I'm gonna leave that to like top analysts to indulge in.
Mm-hmm. Ricardo, she's mentioning questionable VAR system. What have you made of the decisions that we've had so far?
Yeah, look, I think, you know, if yeah, I want to agree with Sne. I want to take this moment to say no comment, because I don't think that it's right for us to speak into a space that we are not familiar with. You know, we see the decisions, everyone can see what's happening, and then there's someone that presses a button and he takes the game back, mm-hmm. and now we have to wait. But we all can see what's happening, you know. So questionable, yes, a lot of those decisions questionable. However, you know, for us, for myself as well, to go into something like that I just see like any other supporter, I don't think that I can give you an advice on it. But if I was a player, I would have been so frustrated. I'm a coach, I would have been so frustrated, you know, because literally people's livelihood is on the line here.
Yeah, it is the AFCON. I'm enjoying the football, upsets and all the unexpected moments. Speaking about the AFCON, I have some great news for the listeners. So to stand a chance to win a share of 100,000 Rand in cash with the Africa Cup of Nations, all you have to do is enter Simply Bet with 20 Rands or more or on any soccer fixture and include at least one leg from the Africa Cup of Nations in your ticket and opt in on the promotion page. For branch bets, you dial *126559*4* ticket number and hash. I'll repeat the message just as we are about to end the space. Sne, we are here to discuss our national team, and I wanted us to have an approach, not necessarily where we're going to be only focusing on what's happening on the field, because we usually take it for granted the things that would be happening off the field. You've prepared for a World Cup, you've prepared for a WAFCON, you've not only prepared for a WAFCON, you've prepared and then won the WAFCON. You've prepared for a World Cup and then went on to do things that people did not even expect you to do in the World Cup. On average, how long does it take for one to prepare for a major tournament? Can we say 2 weeks before? Is it a month before? What goes on behind the scenes?
Yeah. So are we talking this from a media perspective or in general?
From a media perspective and in general.
From a media perspective, I would say people differ. For me personally, I think the preparation started from the time we qualified for the World Cup. And with the AFCON as well, it started from the time we qualified for AFCON, because that's when you should start asking questions. That's when you should be doing research and actually looking at how other teams actually did things prior to such tournaments. So for me, it started way back. And it just, yeah, it's just like familiarizing yourself with everything that other nations do. That's always my number one advice when it comes to media. What do other nations do? How do you sell the team? What are the supporters interested in? Like, that is the first priority. What do supporters want to see when they come into the Bafana page, Banyana page, Kaizer Chiefs page, Orlando Pirates page? What do they want to see? And over time, you study your audience. You see what are they reacting to. So if you post a video of players dancing, then and you see that, oh my gosh, this is what they like the most, this is what they are reacting to the most, then that's what you build on. You basically build on what supporters are receptive to, and from there, then yeah, man, you get your preparations underway. But I always say that preparations before the tournament will never fully prepare you for what you find when you actually get to the tournament. because the pressure is different, the expectations are different. So it forces you to actually reach a level that you would never reach if you are not in the tournament. So yeah, you grow in all aspects. You make mistakes. I think that's one aspect that I took long to understand. I criticize myself a lot. I'm Sinetembe Mbatha's biggest critic, so I would criticize myself a lot and I would beat myself up for mistakes. But then over time, you realize that it's okay to make mistakes. Like, even people at the highest level that you could imagine, they still make mistakes. Big tournaments come with mistakes. So the most important thing is just to learn from those mistakes and ask questions. Like, it's so, so important to ask questions. Ask what is allowed, what is not allowed, especially when it comes to tournaments like CAF and FIFA, because there are so many guidelines, there are so many things that are not allowed. So you don't want to do things and then all of a sudden you're getting an email from CAF to say, please can you take this down because it's clashing with our marketing policy or it's clashing with our broadcasters. So those are some of the things that you have to learn, and that's why you have to attend every workshop that CAF does, or you can reach out to CAF. They have those platforms where you can actually reach out to them to say, hey, it's a big tournament, I don't know what to expect, can you please help me with this? And yeah, man, but you really get to learn as soon as you get to the tournament.
And Ricardo, it seems like from the admin side of things, there seem to be some support structure. As a player, you've qualified, you know that your nation is qualified for AFCON. You now have to amp yourself. You are not guaranteed, firstly, whether you're going to be in the team or not. How do you then make sure that, one, you stay within the radius of the coach, two, you stay in tip-top shape, and three, you put your focus on the tournament?
Yeah, look, I just want to commend Snede for that in-depth. I think if I, anything that he said about media, if you take media out and you put football preparations in there, it would be exactly the same. You know, you need to be on top of your game all the time. I was just looking through the preliminary squad that we had, 50 players. Mm. And from those 50 players, we had 8 players that was from overseas. And at the end of the 23-man squad, we only have 2 players in the squad that's from overseas. So now you're thinking to yourself, you're watching games where... I was just checking the teams today, and there's about 11 teams. 11 African teams who don't have... no player black player in the UK. And then you have 13 teams that's got players in almost every team. Now you look at our Bafana team. I was once in a team like this where the bulk of the team is made out of PSL players. Now let's be honest, as much as we rave about the PSL and you know and all these things, but that's not on the level of an MLS, for example. Now you have players that's playing the MLS, but you don't have them in the squad. You know, someone asked me earlier, should Benny have gone to the 2010 World Cup? And all I said was yes, because he's got a presence, you know, and he's played at the level that week in and week out. Now, if you look at even our second goal that we conceded, if he stayed overseas, he would have been able to physically dealt with that ball, because that was too easy. Now, you come into a tournament like AFCON and you think that, we're just going to win the tournament. You know, but then the preparations, it's not up to par. I've been in a tournament like this. I've been in a squad in 2006 when we signed the document 1 o'clock in the morning the day before our first game. And now you're going into a tournament and you expect to win the tournament. Now for me, if I look at all the other teams, if I look at the 13 teams, and it's players that's well known, it's players that's playing in top teams. Now, bulk of our team, it's made out of Sundowns players. No disrespect to Sundowns. They've done well for us as a country. You know, they've represented us. But now you have bulk of your players coming from Sundowns. Now, week in, week out, they play against players in the PSL. When other countries, their top players are playing against top players in European League. Now, we don't have... The only guy I think we have is Lyle Foster. And Lyle's not even with us. You know, and then we watch him on TV and we see that Lyle is playing, and yes, I know he had a little bit of a mental issue, but those are the players that we needed in this tournament, because those are the players that week in and week out. If you look at our first half the other night, we were outstanding. You know, we should have scored, yes, we missed the penalty, but still we were still the better team. And then second half, what happened was the depth of the team that we played against, because they have the bulk of their players playing overseas, that carried them through the game. You know, so I think preparations for a game like this. Now you asked earlier, how do you stay close to the coach? I think the coaches and the staff and people that's working around the national team should, I don't know, I just think they should put a little bit more effort in, you know, to come and watch our players. You know, make time to go and watch our players. Make time to get the videos. Make time. I mean, we knew that the MLS, it's only a couple of months, about 6 months. So we knew that players like Blom, people that's playing in the MLS, we knew that they were not going to have any game time. Why didn't we put a plan into place? Because he was part of the 50-man squad. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, you hear that he's not in because he hasn't trained for 2 months. Now, if you knew that he was going to be part of the team, if you wanted part, why don't you speak to the clubs? Why don't you go to Kaizer Chiefs? Speak to Kaizer Chiefs and say, here's a player that you guys sent overseas. Why can't he come back and train with you guys until the tournament? Then you at least know that he's in top shape. You know, small things like that. You know, I remember 2006, again, bulk of the team was from the PSL. And we would play friendlies against the PSL 11 while other countries, African countries, were playing against European teams as preparation. So lots of work that we still need to do on that front for me.
Lots of work indeed. And let me just stay with you, Ricardo, because you mentioned Blom. And I feel that we have to explore a bit on this topic because there were different opinions. Don't you think the influence or him not being included would have been from the time that he snapped the national team call up and that he was not available?
But again, you know, as a player, if I tell you guys now all the things that I kept quiet of, you wouldn't think that I would have lasted so long in my career. Mm. And sometimes as a player, you know that you don't have a lot of, it's easier for a player to be subbed or to let go of than for a club to let go of or for a country to let go of. Sometimes we keep quiet because we don't want to put things out there. You know, and I just feel sometimes that as players you're not being protected. That's half of the story that there's always the other side of the story. They say there's a truth, there's yours, there's mine, and then there's a truth.
And then there's a truth,
You know, so as much as we can go into Rome's thing, but there's more to the story than what we heard. You know, it's easy for the national team coach to come on air, to come live on air, to say this is what Blom did. And no one came out and say, but this is not the story. This is the other side of the story. Who do you believe? And as a player, you always want to keep the door open, whether it's at the national team, whether it's at the club. I can tell you now, if you take players like myself and you get us in the corner and you say to us, really tell me how your time in SuperSport was. You would be surprised the things that I had to go through. And yet I didn't speak out. And I think sometimes that is what we do as players. I say we because I was a player once, but that's what the players do. They want to protect their career as much as they can. Because sometimes you go to a league like in the UK, you're going to need your national team caps because there's a criteria, there's an amount of games that you need to play. So I think sometimes we get one side of the story. And sometimes also, players speak out and then clubs, they keep quiet, you know, in respect of the player. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes when we don't get the full picture, then we at the point where we don't really know what to say about him. But I think if you follow his games, the way he's been playing, the colleagues, you know, if you him, he's been one of the best players in his team, you know, in the MLS. So I'll be part of your team, you know, at least of the 23 men squad.
Now, I hear you, and I'm going to go deep on that, but before I do, I just want us to bring in Usne. Usne, your experience is predominantly from the Banyana team, and since we're discussing the preparation and we're discussing leading into the tournament and we're discussing you as an administrator having to deal with players and having to process information, I'm not going to divulge who, but I once had a conversation where I was talking to it's one of the technical team, and then he said to me, "I find it a bit easier to deal with Banyana players." And I asked, and I said, "Okay, why?" And he was like, "Because most of them, if you check their background, they're more open to learning. because we source them from university, because we source them, and he says that then processing of information then would be easier. But with the guys, then it would be a matter of some are not interested. You'd be giving a presentation, some are not interested. So what I want to ask you, Snay, is that the experience that you have in terms of dealing with this group of players that have been deemed eager to learn and easy to process information, do you echo the same sentiments? Are you having the same pretty much standard that you have when you're dealing with the team? And do they make it easier for you leading into preparing for interviews and all that?
I've worked with every team in the structure of USAFA. So I've worked with under 23, spent a lot of time with the under 23, and obviously my project, of course, is Banyana Banyana. But what I've realized with players is before you can work with players, you actually need to develop a relationship with players, and then that kind of makes it easy for players to buy into whatever that you are doing. And it's also important for you to highlight the benefit. So if I call a player for an interview, it's always that thing, why me, or stuff like that. And players are really just scared of interviews, because sometimes journalists will start off an interview talking about, for example, let's say you're talking to Thapelo Maseko in the under 23. You go from asking Thapelo Maseko about the under 23, and then journalists will decide, let me squeeze in a question that has to do with Mamelodi Sundowns, whereas a player is on national team duty. So those are some of the things that we have to deal with. Those are some of the things that we have to discuss with players in terms of, okay, this is what you should do in this situation. Because most of the times, if you are talking to Jermaine and you go from asking Jermaine about Banyana Banyana, and then now you want to go into club football, then it's going to come back to me to say, but Snay, you didn't warn me that they were going to ask that. So that's why it's so important to prepare players. And when it comes to football, you work with all different types of characters. Like, players are different. From the under 17, for me, like, the under 17 obviously was the easiest to work with, because it's just kids and you're working with your little brothers. And then of course when it comes to the under 23, you're dealing with PSL players. When it comes to Banyana, you're dealing with senior players and all that. So there needs to be that understanding. They need to see the bigger picture. They need to understand why are they doing a certain interview. And sometimes, of course, there are players that you will need to guide in terms of how they answer certain questions. But most of the time, you really do get players that are open to learning, and they will ask questions in terms of how should they answer, and how should they position themselves in a way that is not controversial. And yeah, that's basically it. But the relationship with players is so, so important in terms of how they yield into you, and how in terms of how they lean into you when it comes to interviews, when it comes to their schedules, when it comes to what they need to say.
Ricardo, I hear you agreeing, nodding in the background, and this is me, Lekoko. I want an interview at any given moment, because I feel that I have an obligation to the listeners. Ricardo is at a tournament, a big tournament, at the AFCON. It's the biggest stage in the continent. Ideally, what would you guys prefer? Do you prefer for us to leave you guys alone, for you guys to send us voice notes when you're ready? Because we're trying to find out the zone that you guys are in. We don't want to disrupt with that flow where we'll be asking questions that Usne is mentioning, where we'll be asking questions about teams, and when the last thing you want to think about is what was happening in your team, because you are representing your country in this big tournament.
Yeah, because you know, sometimes you do the interview, and then a day later, the interview comes out and it's stuff that you haven't said. Now it's all over the papers, it's front page. Now we probably send, but shouldn't Ricardo be busy with focusing on the, you know, on the effort? Now he's busy doing interviews, and all of a sudden, the interview has been taken completely out of context. And sometimes what we want as a player, you know, I don't mind doing the interview. You know, but if I do an interview with you once, and I know that you ask me one line of questioning, but then when I read the article or I listen to the article, it's totally different. You won't get another interview from me. And if you do get an interview from me, it will be, it will either be forced, I'm forced to do it, because maybe the club will find me or something, but I will not personally do another interview with you. So when you go into these big tournaments, you don't want to think of anything else but the game, because at the end of the day, your livelihood, you're thinking about, if I have one good game, everyone is watching, the scouts is watching. You want to secure, if you're a young player, if you're a 20-year-old player, 22, 23, you want to secure a contract overseas if you're still playing in your local league. But now, the thing that you don't want 2 days later is that people remember you for the article that came out about you. And then sometimes it's nothing to do with you, you know, because the reporter felt like he needed or she needed to say something that they think was right in the moment. And that sometimes kills the game, you know. But on the end of the day, I also like what the national team, especially what Banyana has been doing, you know. I know girls are being called into that setup and into the university setup. They you know, I love that. If you look at the football, you go through different stages of the national teams, but you just get called. There's no program, there's no, like, we're gonna spend time with you, you know, and that's why tournaments, if I may mention the tournaments like Enzins that has these days where they teach the coaches how to do a session, or they come in at night, you know, have a chat with the kids about finances and stuff like that. That is what we need to do for. And for a player going into a major tournament, the last thing that you want is an article about something that you said that you know you didn't say. You know, now you will get calls from the club, you get calls from your family members, you get calls from people say, hey, did you see the article? That's not what you want to do going into your first game of the tournament, even the second game. You know, and sometimes I think the people that has the authority or has the power to say things about you when you said it, I think sometimes that is where it goes wrong. But at the same time, even as players, I think sometimes we're uneducated in what we need to say and when we need to say it. You know, so I always say this thing that you can't tell players not to drink, but you can advise them when to drink, you know, because they're going to drink anyway, you know. So as the advice of when to drink, you know, clubs, European clubs, they do it. I've heard about clubs and I've seen it. After the game, they all go back to the hotel. They have a good time. They don't go home. They stay at the hotel. The next morning when they've slept it off, everyone leaves. Or they have a session in it. You know, so you can't tell them not to drink, but you can tell them when to drink. And I think sometimes, also as reporters, what I've experienced is that sometimes the when you want to do the interview, sometimes in the wrong space and time. You know?
Wrong space and time, that's a very big factor. We can't undermine that. You mentioned the fact that you might have some sort of a workshop, maybe with the players. And I'm also looking at the fact that you hardly have these players at your disposal because they'll be at their teams. Now, if there's a certain message that you need to convey, obviously you then have to convey it when they are together. And the last thing that maybe you'd want is to disrupt their line of thinking. You do not want to disrupt what's happening in the camp. How do you then juggle and try and find a balance to say, I don't want to bombard these people with a lot of information, but at the same time, what it is that I've learned from the workshop, CAF workshop, has to be put through to the players and they have to learn what's happening.
So the first point when coming into camp is, of course, to let the players know of what's going to take place, interviews that they are scheduled for. And sometimes we do interview schedules differently. Like a media officer from one national team and a media officer from another national team might do things differently. But there are certain things that are just, when it comes to tournaments, like, you have to abide by the rules. Like, it's not Snake coming up with those rules. It's just something that I get from CAF, something that I get from FIFA, and I have to communicate to the players. For example, when it comes to a CAF tournament, a player cannot refuse an interview, because when it comes to both a CAF and a FIFA tournament, a player cannot refuse an interview because that is going to be a fine. So, of course, no player is going to want a fine. So in that way, they are, it's sort of like they are forced to do certain interviews. So that kind of applies when you are going into big tournaments like AFCON, the World Cup. And then when it comes to like camps that are usually short, so the shortest camp usually lasts like 11 days. So during short-term camps, it's also, it's just one of those where you have to communicate with the player. And that's why we've started doing this thing where we actually ask journalists to send questions beforehand. Mm-hmm. And the questions with the players to say, are you comfortable answering these questions? And then, of course, you do have players that are still dealing with their mental health, and there are questions that they would like to avoid, or they will just like to avoid interviews thoroughly. So that also has to be communicated to the journalist, because what I always try to explain to the players as well is that as much as we are in camp working, the journalists are also trying to do their job, because ibosikumele at the office, the story must be filed tonight. You must get this interview. So at the end of the day, we are in camp to help journalists. And journalists are supposed to also be helping the team by publishing good stories. But of course, it won't always be good stories because good stories don't sell. But that's what they say. But that is really the procedure. Like, some rules, they are just rules that we cannot change, and they really come from CAF, because ICAF Nayo, as well as FIFA, they have to respect their contract with different broadcasters. So we can't say to a broadcaster that for a match day minus one interview, we're bringing Tembi, and then Utembi says, no, I don't want to go do an interview. And then I have to tell OKF or FIFA to say, she doesn't want to do an interview. Like, they won't take that. Once you submit a name the day before, they already published the schedule. So if you're going to become incompetent with that, or you won't follow rules, it means that you're going to disturb everyone else's schedules. So it's so important to understand the rules. It's so important to read the rules. And again, like, I won't stop emphasizing how important it is to ask questions if you don't know, especially when it comes to big tournaments, because you don't want to find yourself doing the wrong thing and it's reflecting bad on the organization, it's reflecting bad on the team or the players. And with the players as well, for example, we went to the World Cup and they needed Jermaine for an interview, and she wasn't in the mood for an interview, but I was like, already submitted your name, like, you have to go for this interview. And she was so well spoken at that interview, to a point where this lady from ESPN came to me after the whole press, and she's like, oh my gosh, Jermaine is actually good, we're gonna be monitoring her. Maybe she could make a good analyst or a presenter in the future for ESPN. So that is something I always say to the players. You never know which press conference, which interview will open you to a life after your football career.
And Sne, let me stick with you, because you mentioned something very important where you say you then have to take into effect the health of the players, their mental state, their mental health, to be precise. So you can confirm that there are processes in place to try and guard and protect the players, especially with a topic as sensitive as mental health in the national setup?
True. Like, I think the first, the priority should always be the player. Like, at the end of the day, you are in camp. As much as you are there to serve the media, to be the link between the media and the players, but the players are super, super important. So you cannot force an interview when you know that a player is not in the right mental state to actually do that interview. So if they open up to you about not being okay, you have to communicate that to the journalist, and they have to just find an alternative player to do the interview. And that is why Coach Desiree actually, when we have longer camps, there's always that one day where Coach Desiree Ellis actually just allows everyone not to, when it's an off day, she actually tells me no interviews are allowed. So when it's an off day in camp, she just wants players to go sleep if they want to sleep, to watch something if they want to watch something, but no interviews are allowed. It means no training is gonna be allowed. Like, it's just an off day, because at the end of the day, you are working with humans and you're not working with robots. So if we don't take care of their mental health, then who's there to take care of athletes? Who's there to take care of footballers? Because they deal with so much more than just football. Like, people have family issues, they have issues that go beyond football, and those have to be taken into consideration. So you can't force out an interview just because you have a due date or you have to get the stories out. The story can wait, but someone's mental health must be a priority at all times.
And it's comforting, you know, knowing that, and that's why I was putting it to you, so that you can give us, as somebody that's in the know, as somebody that's within the structure, to say, are the processes in place? And it's comforting knowing, as a supporter, knowing that our players can be taken care of, they should be taken care of, and they ought to be taken care of. So I do appreciate that, and I do appreciate the clarity that you've provided. Ricardo, let me come to you now. Sticking to the mental health issue, there's this certain tag that comes with playing for Bafana Bafana. It's almost as if it's a curse. The Bafana Bafana word is a curse, and every player will go through scrutiny, whether it's fair or it's not. But you'll just be scrutinized. They won't even wait for you to play. You already have failed. We already expect nothing from you. You'll be called all those names. How tough is it from a player's point of view, knowing that you don't even have the support of most of the people that would be at home? Or even if you have the support of most of the people, they are not as vocal as the people that would then say Bafana will not be doing well?
Yeah, you're right. I remembered in 2006 or 2005 when we went to the Gold Cup. I don't know if you remembered.
Yeah.
But just before the tournament, they labeled us as a C team. I don't know if you remember.
I remember it very well. Yeah.
We were about 7 SuperSport players, and the bulk of the team was SuperSport players. Stuart Baxter was the coach. I remember that Steve Coppola was the assistant. But they labeled us as a C team. And then I remember we went, that was my first game as a team captain. And I don't know if you guys will remember, we beat Mexico 2-1. Mm-hmm. The same big Mexico that had just beaten Brazil or something. They came off this big win. And then Bafana, people said we were going to get trashed and all those things. And we ended up winning the game 2-1. And I remember we got knocked out in the quarterfinals. When we got back to South Africa, we were like heroes. People waited for us in the airport. I remember I was asked as the captain to come, and they took me to this place. I didn't even know where it was. And the next thing I see, here, Nelson Mandela comes, and we're sitting in the helicopter. We're flying somewhere, and he talks, he go, come back. And the same C team, we were labeled as a C team. So as a player, yes, it's important that that you recognize the supporters. But at the end of the day, it's the same supporters that when you do something wrong. I remember we lost 1-0 against the USA. That was my last game for the national team. We played at Ellis Park. There was a diagonal ball, and I was behind the ball, and then I somehow missed the ball. And then I heard whistles, and my wife was sitting in the crowd, and she said it was so horrible, because now, as a player, imagine 45,000 people, 50,000 people booing you, wanting you to be substituted. Mm. That was my last game for the national team. Mm. But what was more important was the support that I had at home with my wife, with my kids. I had that support. I had the structure that when, you know, because you know that supporters on the one day, it's the same guy that's asking you for a T-shirt today and telling you he's the best player. It's the same guy tomorrow. And when you make a mistake, he's gonna boo at you. So I think as a player, what especially to the youngsters, you must learn early that when you go onto the field, you know, I had this thing where people used to ask me, did you see us in the stands? I said, no. I said, did you see us? No. Why not? Because I'm not here to focus on people that's in the stands. You go and you literally switch off, you focus on the game, you focus on what is at hand, because you don't know what's going to happen on the day. You could have one of the best games of your life, or you could have one of the worst games. I remember coming back from the 2006 Cup of Nations from Egypt. I mean, people wanted to kill us. I mean, just the cup a year later, from coming from the Gold Cup, going to the Cup of Nations, people wanted to kill us at the airport. The police came and they had to take us away. The same people that held us when they lifted us up when we left, you know, they came to sing, and now when we came back, they wanted to kill us. So mentally, it's tough to be a professional player. But then I like what Stay is saying. You know, you need the support, not just at home. You need the support in the hotel where you go. The people that's around you, you know, that's probably the closest support, that's a positive support you're gonna have when you're in a tournament, in a major tournament. Because imagine now, he's in camp now with the national team. You You know, people are saying a lot of bad things about players, you know, about Percy Tau. But to be honest, when we see Percy play for his team in Egypt and he comes and plays against Sundowns, Percy is one of the best players that we have in the current generation. You know, now imagine, I saw when he missed the penalty, I don't know if you saw, they showed a close-up of him and he was like,
I couldn't believe it,
I don't know if he was wondering was worried about the goal, he must go about what the supporters was going to say. But you know, it's very difficult, but I think you need to, as a player, also have things in place that you know that, you know, when the game is done and when those bad reviews comes in. I remember that I got a 4 out of 10 for that game against the USA. That's the lowest that I've ever gotten. And I've played some bad games, but that game it was so bad. And I think the good thing for me was it was my last game for the test because I didn't get called up again after that. So, you know, but on the end of the day, I had support at home. I had my people. I had the things that I knew how to deal with, you know. And I think that's important. But the mental issue, things, you know, the thing that I hated the most was when they used to call us cows, you know, a cow.
Yeah, myself,
how do you call someone else a child a cow? You know, now you're walking out and you think, yeah, someone said this, probably this guy that's coming to Austria is the one that probably said to the newspaper that those people are cows and all that. But those are the things that when you play for supporters, that is what's going to happen. But if you play for yourself, if you play for the people that you know why you're going out there. You know, Percy didn't intentionally want to miss that penalty. Mm. You could see that he was really focused. Even before the whistle blew, he didn't look at the goalkeeper. He was looking at the referee, you know, not wanting to be distracted. So he didn't go out there to miss the penalty. And obviously, from there, we ended up losing the game. And now people are talking, yeah, we should have scored the goal. But maybe we shouldn't have conceded the goals as well. And maybe it would have been no. You know, we could have had a draw. So when you win, that's usually the team, and when you lose, that you usually put it down to one player or the goalkeeper or the surgeon. Put as a player that you know mentally, and I think that's why we get paid what people pay us. So you can take care of yourself. You know, you need to put things in place. You need to know that, like with me, I've got this thing that when I'm at home, I don't watch a lot of football, especially when I was playing, because you don't want to come home and then relive moments that you know. Because when the game was done, 2-3 hours later, the game would play in my head the whole time. I knew exactly what I was doing. So why would I want to come back home when I could be out with my family or can be out with friends and just get away from the game? Now I'm sitting and I'm watching the game. You know, so there's certain things that a lot of people might not agree with me. You know, yeah, you need to watch football, you need to, but I'm working. You know, I don't think that a mechanic, someone that works on someone's car, goes come home on a Sunday and still want to work on people's cars.
Stress about the engine and stuff.
Yeah, so you need to put things in place for yourself as well. But I love what Sne is saying. It's so refreshing to hear what he's saying, because I would have loved to be in an environment where I had a Sne, where I had someone that would actually look after me. I would have loved a coach like Desiree that would say, on your off day, there's no interviews. We had to do interviews. People would stop you in the mall and do an interview. You know, like when you just want to relax and now you have to do an interview. And then when you walk away and you don't want to do it, they say, yeah, who do you think you are and all those things, you know. So I think that's why the national, that's why Banyana is doing so well for me. Because if I listen to what Sne is saying, I was like, oh, okay, now it makes sense. You know, and Coach Desiree actually looks after the players, the mental state of them. And I think that's important. As much as Hugo Broz is talking to the support and you know, the minister, I don't even know who the guy was that said Bafana shouldn't allow them to play high moves. I don't know how that came in. But anyway, it's important that the coach and the staff around the players, that they support the players mentally, you know, because we need them to be on top form for the Namibia game.
Sne, Ricardo mentioned the importance of having support, especially when you're going through such a tough tournament, especially when you're away from home. There's a lot of things, there's a lot of factors that are working against you. Your own supporters are working against you, your own players, your own teammates might be working against you because maybe you cost the team. And now you have to be dealing with journalists. Now, I want to ask you, I noticed recently with the Rugby World Cup where players were allowed. So there are two, my question is two-sided. One, allowing family the players were allowed to bring in, to have their family there. It was a surprise, and they, but it worked for them. It worked when they had their family too. Another thing that I've noticed, and I think I was a bit wary of it, was players having, I saw a lot of Bafana players having access to their phones before the kickoff. They were just busy on social media, and I had this worry to say, but wait, shouldn't they stay away from this place, because this is not a nice place to be in? Yes, I'm not saying don't be on your phone, don't communicate with your family, but just be, so what I want to find out is that the access of phones, is this something that's encouraged from an admin point of view to try and curb the whole mental thing where players can zone out of the match and focus on what was being said about them in social media?
With regards to that, I always say, especially when it comes to big tournaments, a player's social media is so important, because if a brand sees you from one game and they're impressed with you, the first point of contact is your social media page. So your social media page can be there, but you as a player don't have to be active. So the officer advised to say, okay, don't be on social media. I don't know if you've watched the USA Women's National Team Under Pressure, where they zoned out from their phone in preparation for the 2023 World Cup, because there was just so much pressure from the nation and people having opinion. And that's the unfortunate part of being an athlete, is that we are gonna have an opinion about you. So the way in which you can protect yourself is to block out that, keep your social media there, but you don't have to be active, especially during games. So I can advise against it, but it's always up to the player just how strong they are mentally to take in whatever comes their way. So if a player feels, I can handle comments from Twitter, I can handle trending on Twitter, then I have no control over that. But personally, I always advise against it because of the cruel things that people say, and especially right before a game, a lot of people have opinions about you. So I always advise against it. But of course, it's up to the player to decide if they want to have their phone or they don't want to use their phones prior to games. And in terms of family coming into camp, of course, on your off day, if we are in Joburg, then your family, if your family is in Joburg, or we are in whichever province and you have family there, they are allowed to come see you in camp. But we haven't reached the Springboks level of coming with family members and, you know, and just allowing your support system to be there with you. And that's why, like, whenever you come back from big tournaments, you always just need to come back to yourself, because most of the time you are running on adrenaline and you don't feel everything. And then when you come back home, it's like emotions start coming in one by one and you start feeling them one by one. And I'm saying that from a media officer point of view. Now imagine how much more the athletes. So we haven't reached the Springboks level, but hopefully that's the direction that we're gonna move towards, and we will eventually have family members traveling with the team, because there's nothing as important as family. There's nothing as important as a support structure, because even after you've had a bad game, sometimes you don't want to see your teammates for 60 days in camp, because number of days you spend in camp. So sometimes you don't want to wake up and see Snare's face. Sometimes you don't want to wake up and see Bambanani's face. So yeah, you want to see your family. You want to see your husband, your wife, your children, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, or whoever, just so you can feel alive again and you can be ready to tackle the tournament itself. So
And Snare, you said what I picked up here, and it was very important when you said we haven't reached Springbok level yet. And you know, the first thing that came into my mind was a tweet from the late AKA, where he said, just give, can somebody give Bafana to the Springbok administrators just for some time, we want to see how it happens. So my question is that, are there sessions where you, as national teams, you would be exchanging ideas on how to improve certain things, like your strengths as in Safa and their strengths as in Saru, running the national team? Do you have those things? And if you don't, would it be something that you guys are open to?
We haven't had any sessions like that. But of course, I think Mina personally, outside of Safa and just as a media officer, I would really like to learn from the Springboks, from their backroom staff. Actually, I just I'm a big fan of how they do things. A marketing strategy, media, like the way they do things is just world class. And I think if they had to have sessions, if we could arrange sessions, just learn from each other, especially when it comes to going into to big tournaments, that is something that I would be open to. I feel like there's a lot that we can learn from each other, and there's a lot that we can improve, because football is forever evolving. The media is forever evolving. The marketing space is forever evolving, and that kind of forces teams to evolve as well. So you don't want to keep doing the same thing. What we did at the World Cup in 2023 is not something you'd want to do at the Olympics. Like, there needs to be a change. Like, there needs to be something different to show an improvement, to show that the team is growing, to show that your knowledge is being enhanced. So yeah, any opportunity to learn from the Springboks, I would personally take that.
Ricardo, let's bring it on the football side of things. Bafana Bafana find themselves in this position now where they've lost the match. You find yourself in a similar position before, and even worse, where you came back home and you guys did not even score a goal. And that's why I felt that it's important to have you here, because out of all the people, I think you would then have an idea of how to try and get out of this situation. What do they have to do? What changes would you make if you were a coach? As a player, what approach would you then have differently in terms of going into the next match with Namibia?
I think the biggest thing for us, in my opinion, is that if we think that it's going to be easy just because it's Namibia, I think there's no team that qualifies for the Cup of Nations that don't deserve to be there. Mm. You know, it's not like you miss out on promotion and then all of a sudden you buy your status and then you're in the PSL. Mm. That's not every team that's in the Cup, the 24th, but teams that belongs there, that work their way there, you know, and for us to go into the game like Namibia, because I already hear people saying, ah, it's just Namibia. It's not just Namibia. It's not just another 11 players. It's a Namibia that if they win against Bafana, they go and they qualify for the next round. Mm. You know, it's also a chance for them to knock us out of the tournament. You know, for us to go into a game and think that, ah, it's just going to be Namibia, I think that's going to be, my opinion, that's going to be our biggest mental stumbling block. If we fail that part, we're going to fail that. We won't even play the game. We already have lost the game. We think Namibia is just going to be a walkover, because it's not. You know, you think you can just leave Peter alone. You think you can just leave Otto alone. You know, those are guys that we see week in and week out scoring goals, you know, creating goals. So for Bafana to go there and think that, ah, no, it's just Namibia, you know. And also, I think the other thing that's important is that just because we lost against Mali, it doesn't mean that we are a bad team, because most of the game we actually played well. You know, if we converted one or two of the chances, we would have been saying something else. So there's no player currently that's there that's not good. As we know that we've got exceptional players, you know, in South Africa, the team, even though the bulk of the team comes from Sundowns, we know that that's quality players, you know. So I don't think that we also should go into a game and think, ah, we're not good enough. And also, you know, it would be okay if we just get out of the thing and just go home and go to different places, you know, and go back to Sundowns and go back to school and go back to, you know. So for me, those are the two things that I think that's important going into this last game, that we must hold them the respect they deserve, because they had a very, very good result, you know, so, and they worked for it. And I think if we want to progress anywhere else in this tournament, we're going to have to work our socks off. I think that's going to be important, you know. And I think, again, all we can do, we can support the team. At the end of the day, whoever gets chosen to play in the starting 11, whoever comes on, you know, I think for now. We've seen that the players that stay, they hard workers. You know, we watch them in the team. So it's important that we understand that Namibia is not going to be walk over. You know, and also that we are not a bad team. We're actually good players, and it's just that we just need to be a little bit more effective and take our chances, and then we'll be talking something else, because it's important. You know, bulk of our team is made up of PSL players. What a privilege and what an honor it is to play in front of international scouts. You know, also there should be a personal pride of you want to achieve something. You know, one good game, you could be playing in Europe, you know, or anywhere else in the world, you know, that's better than the PSL. So I think it's important for us just to know that we are a nation that has come through a lot. You know, I come from a generation where we worked for things. You know, I'm 45 years old, turning 46. You know, in the 80s, we were kids that our parents would go to work, and it was your responsibility to get to school, and they wanted to see your report at the end of that term. They don't ask you if you were in school today. They believe that you went to school, so it was your responsibility. So we come from a generation that work hard. You know, we've gone through a lot as a country. You know, we've done this before. You know, we've seen our Banyana doing it. We see the Springboks doing it. You know, some of the cricket guys, they think that just because they didn't win the World Cup, now it's a bunch of bad cricket players. It's not. You know, we've got that tenacity, we've got that fighting power. So I think it's important that we get behind our country and just support it.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, I don't know, I've got three kids, you know.
Yeah.
When my kid is playing one day in the national team or somewhere, you want to support that child. And I think now we're in a position to support someone else's child, to support someone that's representing us, you know, that representing South Africa. And it's important that we get behind the nation, you know, because the players, they do need it. The one thing that we don't want is to show the players or to like make them feel that they're worthless, to make them feel that they are cows, you know, that word that people are saying, you know, that would kill the squad. And I think we should get behind the team, and if there's an opportunity for us to speak life into them, you know, we should do that. This opportunity to be positive, we should do that, you know. And when they come back home, whether they win or lose, I think it's not easy to go and represent your country. I think that the responsibility is so huge.
I totally agree. Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Lekokola Space, powered by Hollywood Bet. So what we're discussing, a very important discussion. We're discussing a very important topic where we not only focusing on Bafana Bafana and what's happening in the field of play, but factors that would determine everything that happened outside the field of play. I thought we should have this approach because we take these for granted. We take these smaller things that make the national team tick for granted. For example, we spoke about the Springboks and how it is that they allowed their families to come, and it helped them mentally. It helped them. It carried them through to the next round. I am just going to open the lines quickly. We are about to get to the end of our space. I am going to open the line. I'll take your questions quickly. And please make sure nothing more than 10 seconds, because for the sake of time. We are available on Apple Podcasts. We are available on Spotify. So please, if you do miss any of our conversations, do go to those platforms, search Lekokola Space and subscribe. We'll upload these episodes as well as we're available on YouTube. Now, Sne, I want to wrap it up before we close the space. I would like to wrap it up. Ricardo mentioned hard work, and he mentioned what it is that the players need to do. From somebody that has witnessed a group of players that were determined to prove the odds, how do we then approach this one? What would you then say, let's go, this is what you need to do?
I think from a supporter's point of view, we just need to give them grace. We are being too hard on our national team after this first defeat, opening defeat, of course. But I think we need to give them grace, because they are, I always say Africa is a jungle. Like when you play in Africa, it's a whole different ball game. And we don't understand the position that they are in. And all we can do is really just extend our grace to them. And with regards to them, that is a determined group of players, and they will find the motivation themselves to go out on that field against Namibia and make sure that they play for South Africa, not because of the bad comments that they are getting, not because of the backlash, not because of the trolls, but because of what's gonna be driving them, because they should be driven to make a difference and to inspire a nation, because we have seen how sports can actually uplift the nation. So I think that's the motivation that they need to carry going into the game against Namibia. But other than that, from us as supporters, we really just need to give them grace. That's all. Like, forget about what went wrong in the game against Mali and focus on what can they do right in the game against Namibia. Because even if we try and put ourselves in their shoes, we could never understand what they're feeling, what they're going through, and the conditions that they are playing under.
All right. Let me just take one or two comments from the timeline, and then we can shut down the space. Walter Melanie, I saw your request. I've accepted. I don't know what is happening. I think probably it's internet from your side, because you kept on connecting and it just buffered. You got kicked out. So if you, unfortunately, I have to close the space because of time. Hydra says, Ricardo mentioned something important about European moves. There's a criteria they use to select a player. The number of caps you have for your country is one, and I hope the current and future players are taking notes. So I hope so too, Hydra. I hope so too. And Walagasha says, the VAR has been good so far, but one thing I'm concerned about is the time they take to make a decision. Very slow. All right, we're about to close the space. Snay, Ricardo, I have three fixtures here. I need your predictions on these fixtures, because these are very big fixtures. I'm going to give you one fixture each. So let me start with Snay. Snay, Ghana versus Egypt. Who's taking it?
I'm a big Ghana fan, so I'm gonna go with Itimia Mohamed Kudus to actually come out tops today. They caught a lot of smoke from their nation last week, so I think this week they're gonna be going all out. So I'm just excited to watch them, but I'm definitely going with Ghana today. They're gonna win 1-0.
All right, Ricardo, Senegal versus Cameroon.
Oh, Senegal.
They look balanced, nah?
Yeah, Senegal.
Senegal looks balanced. All right, and I think this one I'll take it from the both of you. Let me start with Snay. Bafana, Namibia.
Oh wow, I have to give it to Bafana. We are bouncing back against Namibia. It won't be easy, but it's gonna be 1-0 South Africa again. Like, champion score. 1-0, yeah.
You can score, ne? Ricardo, Bafana Namibia?
Bafana, I'm a South African, so I stand behind the national team. I know it's not easy, but we have to be positive, and yeah, I'll say 2-1.
2-1 it is. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for taking your time. I just want to give you one last reminder. Stand a chance to win a share of 100,000 rand in cash with the Africa Cup of Nations. To enter, simply bet 20 rand or more on any soccer fixture and include at least one leg from the Africa Cup of Nations in your ticket and opt in on the promotions page. If you are at the branch, you dial *120*46559*4* and your ticket number, then hash. I've put up the tweet on the timeline. You'll be able to go through that. There's a competition that's also running on the timeline. Please have a look at that. The winner will be announced tomorrow. So please do make sure you put your screenshot. You go and register, put your screenshot there, and then retweet and like the tweet, and I'll announce the winner tomorrow morning. Snay, thank you very much for making time for us. Ricardo, thank you very much for making time for us. I do appreciate you guys coming through. We've run out of time. And ladies and gentlemen, most importantly, I thank you for joining the space and for being in the space and for learning. Next week, 6 o'clock, we are changing our time because of the AFCON. We are accommodating the AFCON. 6 p.m., we are here again. We are going to be discussing a topic that's related to coaches. It's a topic that Coach Thea put forward. How important is it to have a coach that has played professional football? In the space, I have confirmed Benedict Vilakazi will be joining us, and we have a tentative guest. I'll make the announcement later on in the week. Thank you, Snay. Thank you, Ricardo. Thank you for pulling through my show. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening in. Enjoy the AFCON. Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
Ladies and gentlemen, remember to treat the people that you love, right? I love you all. Cheers, cheers.